There are moments in life when everything looks calm on the outside, but something decisive is happening on the inside. No headlines, no witnesses, no applause, just a quiet decision that shapes who we become. Everyone eventually arrives at a crossroads. Not the kind with stoplights and turn lanes, the kind where no one else can see the sign but you. The kind where the choice is quiet, private, unseen. Do I tell the truth or shade it a little? Do I stay faithful or drift a little just this once? Do I trust God or do I take control? The season of Lent begins in that kind of place, not in triumph, not in celebration, but out in the wilderness where identity is tested and allegiance is clarified. And that is exactly where we meet Jesus. Notice what happens just before this moment. Jesus has been baptized, the heavens have opened, the Spirit has descended like a dove, and a voice from heaven has declared, "This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased." Before he performs a miracle, before he preaches any sermon, before he gathers his disciples, he is named and claimed and loved. And then the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, leads him out into the wilderness. It seems backwards, doesn't it? We pray, "Lead us not into temptation." Yet here the Spirit leads Jesus directly into it. And we've got to ask why. Well, I think it's because Matthew, the gospel writer, is presenting Jesus as the new and greater Moses. Just as Israel passed through the waters of the Red Sea and then wandered for 40 years in the wilderness, Jesus is going to pass through the waters of baptism and then fast for 40 days in the wilderness. Where Israel failed, Jesus will stand firm. But this story is not primarily about endurance. It is about identity. And so our second reading comes from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 4, verses 1 through 11. Matthew chapter 4, beginning with the first verse, "Listen for God's word to you." "Then Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. He fasted 40 days and 40 nights, and afterwards he was famished. The tempter came and said to him, 'If you are the Son of God, command these stones to become loaves of bread.' But he answered, 'It is written, one does not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God.' Then the devil took him to the holy city and placed him on the pinnacle of the temple, saying to him, 'If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you, and on their hands they will bear you up so that you will not dash your foot against a stone.' Jesus said to him, 'Again, it is written, do not put the Lord your God to the test.' Again, the devil took him to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their splendor. And he said to him, 'All these I will give to you if you will fall down and worship me.' Jesus said to him, 'Away with you, Satan. For it is written, worship the Lord your God and serve only him. Then the devil left him, and suddenly angels came and waited on him. This is the word of the Lord. Three temptations, three different settings. And if we are honest, we've stood in each of those places ourselves. So let's take a look. First temptation is out there in the wilderness. Jesus is alone. He's hungry. He's vulnerable. And the tempter says, if you are the Son of God, command these stones to become loaves of bread. If you are, then prove it. Use your power. Meet your needs. No one's watching. What harm would there be in one small miracle? You're hungry, right? Just one stone, just one loaf. Temptation rarely presents itself as rebellion against God. It presents itself as something reasonable, something efficient, as practical. The issue is not the bread. The issue is allegiance. Will Jesus use his identity and power for himself, or will he trust the one who gave it? We all understand reasonable compromises. Just bend the rule a little. Just protect your circle of friends. Just say what needs to be said to get ahead. Just make things work. No one's gonna know. But Jesus answers with a quote from Deuteronomy. One does not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. In other words, I don't have to prove who I am. I already know who I am. Scene two, the temple. The scene shifts from the wilderness to the holy city, the pinnacle of the temple, very public, very visible, spectacular. If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down. Make God prove it. Force God's hand. Give the people a sign. Imagine Jesus, angels swooping in, the crowd gasping, headlines spreading. What is this temptation about? It's about performance, it's about visibility, it's about impressing others, about spiritual spectacle. And if we're honest, that temptation might feel familiar, because we live in a culture that rewards recognition, that confuses attention with authority, that measures worth by visibility. And even churches can feel that pull. We want to be bigger. We want to do better. We want more drama. We want to be more impressive. But Jesus refuses the shortcut, saying, do not put the Lord your God to the test, because truth does not manipulate. Trust rests. Jesus doesn't need applause to confirm what heaven has already declared. And neither do we. Temptation number three occurs on a high mountain, the highest place of all. All the kingdoms of the world are laid before Jesus. And the devil says, all these I will give you if you'll just fall down and worship me. Just one bow. Just a small shift of allegiance. One quiet compromise, and here's the deepest temptation. Power without obedience. Glory without the cross. Influence without surrender. And that one cuts close. Close to us, because we like results. We like measurable outcomes. We like visible success. We like influence. And there's always the temptation to protect power, to preserve status, or to chase influence. But Jesus says, "Away with you, Satan. Worship the Lord your God and serve only him." Why? Because identity determines allegiance, and allegiance determines integrity. Did you notice that the first two temptations begin the same way? If you are the Son of God. The attack is not primarily about behavior or what Jesus is being asked to do. It is about his identity. Prove it, secure it, enhance it, protect it. Temptation always whispers, "Are you really who God says you are?" And if we're unsure of the answer, we are vulnerable. Because our ability to resist temptation rises or falls on how secure we are in our identity. So why does the Spirit lead Jesus into the wilderness? Because identity needs to be tested before mission can be trusted. Before Jesus preaches, before he heals, before he confronts injustice or walks towards Jerusalem, he must settle the question, who am I and whose am I? And if that's not clear, then everything else will wobble. And that's true for us as well. The real danger of temptation is not simply that we make a mistake, that we do something wrong. It's that we begin to forget who we are. Every time we cross a boundary that we know we should not cross, something shifts. We begin to see ourselves differently. We adjust our self-understanding. We lower the standard just a little. And over time, our identity erodes. That is why small compromises matter. Not because God is keeping score, but because every compromise reshapes how we understand ourselves. Temptation is not primarily about what we do. It's not primarily about our actions. It is about our identity, who we believe ourselves to be. And that's why baptism matters so deeply. The great reformer Martin Luther called baptism the unsinkable ship. When he felt accused or attacked, he would say, "I am baptized. Not I'm strong or not that I'm flawless, but I belong to Christ." Many of you in this room, I believe, were probably baptized right here in this sanctuary. Water was poured out. Promises were spoken. Maybe you had a cross traced across your forehead. Before you earned anything, before you failed at anything, you were named and you were claimed. And God declared God's love for you. And that identity does not wobble every time you wobble. Every one of us will stand at a crossroads this week, whether it's at work or at home or in a conversation with others or in a quiet moment that nobody else is going to see. And temptation is not going to shout at us. It's going to whisper, just this once. No one will know. You deserve it. Take the shortcut. And in that moment, the real question will not be, is this allowed or will I get caught? The deeper question will be, who am I? Am I someone who belongs to God? Am I someone marked by baptism? Am I someone claimed and loved? Temptation is an identity issue. Before Jesus resisted temptation, before he healed the sick, before he taught the crowds, before he went to the cross, he was already beloved. And so are you. Lent is not a season to prove yourself to God. It is a season to remember who you are, marked by the cross, washed in baptism, claimed as God's own. The wilderness, it's not where identity is earned, it's where it is clarified. And so when you stand at the crossroads this week, and you will, remember your baptism, remember who you are, remember whose you are, and let that identity guide your integrity. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.